Thank you. As I said, all other opening statements will be included as part of the record. At this point, I'd like to turn to our first witness, Mr. James Kaysen, Associate Deputy Secretary of Interior. He is accompanied by Ross Swimmer, the Special Trustee for American Indians. I'd like to take this time to remind all of today's witnesses that under committee rules, oral statements are limited to 5 minutes. Your entire written statement will appear in the record. Deputy Secretary, if you're ready, you may begin. Excuse me, if you just suspend for a second, you need to turn your mic on.
How's that?
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to be here today to discuss H.R. 4322, a bill that would attempt to resolve the Cobell v. Norton litigation. We appreciate the time and effort the chairman and the ranking member and their staffs have taken to sponsor the legislation in an effort to reach a full, fair, and equitable settlement to this case and to clarify our individual Indian trust duties, responsibilities, and expectations. While many details remain to be negotiated and clarified, the bill represents an important step towards seeking closure on this matter. On November 15, 2005, the very day this legislation was introduced, the United States Courts of Appeal vacated the district court's order reissuing the historical accounting injunction. The court said that since neither congressional language nor common law trust principles establish a definitive balance between exactitude and cost, the district court owed substantial deference to Interior's plan. The court found that reissuance of the historical accounting injunction was not properly founded in either fact or law. What is more, the district court completely disregarded relevant information about the cost of the injunction. The court also found that Interior's decision to use statistical sampling was especially reasonable, and the district court had abused its discretion by barring the use of statistical sampling. So what does this all mean? Interior is no longer obligated to conduct a historical accounting costing billions of dollars. Interior's more reasonable effort is entitled to substantial deference. Interior has expended more than $100 million to date and has made substantial progress on our historical accounting task. Today, it's abundantly clear that the plaintiff's public claim that $176 billion is owed is vastly overstated, to say the least. Such assertions have misled many individual Indians and created expectations that are false. More recently, the plaintiff lawyers have offered to settle for $27.5 billion. This figure, too, is based on assumptions that available evidence simply does not support. What remains to be determined is how much more accounting needs to be done before we can resolve these claims through administrative, judicial, or legislative means. The accounting work done to date has identified differences between our accounting ledgers and the supporting documentation. These differences tend to be few. They tend to be small. They involve both overpayments to individual Indians and underpayments to individual Indians, and when added together, net out with a net overpayment. That overpayment principally involves the payment of interest to a broad range of accounts. Thus, the facts to date are in stark contrast to the rhetoric that surrounds this case. While more accounting work can be done, there is a base of substantial evidence upon which to begin forming conclusions about the merits of the case and the magnitude of any settlement offers that should be considered. The administration supports the committee's efforts to bring this matter to a close, provided the terms of the settlement are objective, reasonable, and consistent with the facts. We stand ready to work with the committee and the Senate counterparts to seek comprehensive resolution of the case. We understand that there is still risk and uncertainty for the parts of the history that we have not examined yet, and that we would prefer, if possible, to bring a complete resolution to this matter rather than continuing down a historical accounting path that ultimately, in the end, will likely prove unsatisfactory to all parties concerned. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer questions.